I want to remind you we have a new quarter coming up very quickly. We still need a number of teachers for our children's classes. Wednesday night is open with the exception of one class we have a teacher for. And we still need another teacher Sunday morning. So take a look at the sign-up list in the foyer. Our children are a gift for us to raise. And today's sermon is going to deal with a mission. We are on a mission to save souls. And our children are those souls that we have so much contact with. So it is a real privilege to teach a children's class in the Lord's church. And I want to make you, just to remind you of that and encourage you, take a look at that list and pray about that. And we need to get those filled. Also, tomorrow night's Monday Night for the Master. We'll include a blood drive. We do that periodically, so we're doing that tomorrow night. So from 5 to 8 p.m. will be the blood drive. That's a longer period of time. You can sign up in the foyer for a time slot for that blood drive. That'll be here in this building. Monday Night for the Master will coincide with that. It'll start at 6 across the street, so be thinking about that for tomorrow night. Turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, we read about Jesus. He has been in his ministry, conducting his ministry. He has been healing. He has been casting out demons. He's recently healed Peter's mother-in-law. And word is spreading about Jesus and his miracles, and crowds are coming to him. And in Luke chapter 4, it's getting toward evening time, and Jesus is healing all that come to him. He's casting out demons. And verse 42 says, when it was day, he departed and went to a desolate place. And people sought him and came to him, and they would have kept him from leaving them. People came to Jesus in that area, in that town, and it says they wanted him to stay. They would have kept him there. Why would they have kept him there? Maybe they wanted more healing. Maybe they wanted more teaching. Maybe they wanted more of Jesus. And who could blame them? But look at what Jesus did. He said to them, I must. And we're going to see that word a few times today. I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns. For I was sent for this purpose. Jesus was on a mission. He came to earth. He was on a mission. Luke chapter 19, flip to 19. This is later in Luke. We read about a man named Zacchaeus. Remember Zacchaeus? He was a chief tax collector. The tax collectors, of course, they were viewed by the Jews as sinners. They were viewed as unfaithful. They were crooked. They were traitors. They were sinners. And Zacchaeus was not only a tax collector, he was a chief tax collector. But he wanted to see Jesus, and Jesus is coming through town, and Zacchaeus runs ahead. He's a short man, so he climbs a tree to see Jesus, and when Jesus comes to him, he stops. Now, Luke 19, verse 1 says that Jesus was passing through Jericho. He's just passing through. He's not coming to Jericho, he's going through Jericho. But he stops because of Zacchaeus. And we see that as this story concludes, Jesus, he calls Zacchaeus down from the tree, says, I'm going to your house today. And we know that those around, there were other Jews, Jewish leaders, that they saw this and they couldn't believe it. They despised it, that Jesus would spend time with a sinner, that Jesus would go eat and stay with a sinner. But Jesus concludes this by saying the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. They couldn't believe he would hang out with sinners. Jesus said, that's who I'm after. That's who I'm chasing is sinners. You people won't rub elbows with them. I'm after them. I'm on a mission. They saw Zacchaeus as a traitor. Jesus saw Zacchaeus as a lost soul. Last summer we went to a group of us from here went on a mission trip to the church in Quebec, Canada. And the last day we were there before coming back, we spent a little time in Quebec City. A little sightseeing. So we're walking around the old part of town. Has different little shops and places that you can go and shop for this and that. And So we're walking around, and it becomes a priority. I gain a new priority because it becomes more and more clear to me I need to find a restroom. And so here we are in a foreign country, in a foreign city, and I could get back to my car, but I wouldn't know where to go from there. And it's not like there's a Quick Trip on every corner like there should be. Right here, we have it right. And so, but anyway, we're walking along, and we got to find a restroom. And so we're walking past different stores that have really interesting things in them. And I don't care. I'm not looking at them. I mean, I might notice it, see it. Not interested. I'm interested in one thing. I'm on a mission to find a restroom. John chapter 4. Remember Jesus with the Samaritan woman? John chapter 4, Jesus, he talks to her at the well. The apostles, they go into town to buy food. They're hungry. So the apostles go into town to a Samaritan village to buy food. Jesus stays at the well. They get food. Jesus talks to this woman. He's trying to convert this woman and the town. And so she goes to the town, or she's still with Jesus. His disciples come back and they see him talking to her. They're amazed by that. But what they're focused on is the fact that, Jesus, you have to be hungry. I mean, we were starving. We got food. You have to be hungry. We have food now. Don't you want some food? Remember what Jesus said to his apostles there? I have food to eat that you do not know about. And the knuckleheads as they are, and I suppose we would have been the same way, but they immediately think, he had food with him? You know, what food did he have? I thought we didn't have any food. And they're focused on food. And Jesus said, my food, verse 34, is to do the will of him who sent me to accomplish his work. Do you not say? And here's what Jesus is talking about. 4 more months and then the harvest. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Jesus is after souls. He's on a mission. There might be other things going on. Haven't you got so focused on something, doing something, that you missed a meal and didn't even know it? And you might have been excited about what you were doing, but you were so focused on what you were doing, all of a sudden you realize what time it is, and you think, I didn't even eat lunch. Didn't even notice. And I think that's exactly what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, I haven't eaten in a while, but I don't care. I'm finding lost people who want to be saved. He's on a mission. Are the fields ripe around us? Are the fields ripe here? Yeah. Are there people that we know that are looking for a good church? A good church home? A group of Christians? People looking for a place to come and worship and learn about God and learn about His Word? Are there people around us that are looking for answers? That are confused? Or they don't have a purpose? Or they realize something's not right in their life? There's another occasion, Luke 15. Another time when tax collectors and sinners were drawing near to Jesus. Luke 15, verse 2. The Pharisees and scribes, they grumbled. This man receives sinners and eats with them. Isn't that a contrast? You know, they really criticize Jesus for affiliating with sinful people. And how ironic, that's the whole reason he came. Is to save sinful people. So he told them a parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? Recently, my phone told me, here a while back, it told me, you need to update your whole system. We have a system update and you need to do this. And so I finally got around to doing it, and I made a grave error, and I kind of... It's one of those things, after you do it, you realize I shouldn't have done that. But anyway, I started it downloading this update. And then I plugged in my charger. And it downloaded the update. And then, but while it's doing it, it's not charging. So I wait till the update's finished. And I plug it in, it won't charge. And I plug in another charger, and it won't charge. And I plug it in another outlet, and it won't charge. And my blood pressure's starting to go up. This silly phone has an internal battery. It's sealed. You can't get to the battery. Okay? Can't just pop a battery out, pop another one in, go buy another one, put another one in. Can't do that. Battery's going down. I'm trying to charge this. I can't charge it. Well, I think if this goes dead and I ship it back to wherever, I may not get this phone back. I may not get anything back that's on it, including pictures and videos of important family things, things I really want that are important to me. And as it played out, I didn't get it back. And I was panicking. And I was at my computer trying to download everything off of this thing, 9% power. You need to plug your phone in. I'm trying to plug it in. It won't charge. Anyway, and my children will come and say, "Hey, Dad, da 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 da. Can't talk? Can't talk. I'm in a crisis." Focused on one thing. Jesus tells them a parable. He says, if you lose one sheep, that's how you get. All you're worried about is that one lost sheep. Why does the shepherd go after the one lost sheep and listen until he finds it? Why? Why the determination? Why the desperation? Is it because the sheep is lost? And I say, no, it's not. Not really. Is it because the sheep has value? I don't think that's it. You have 100 and you lose one. I may not be a mathematician, but that's 1%, I'm pretty sure. That's not much. I don't think it's the value. You go after the one sheep until you find it, because if you don't, that sheep will die. Sheep are dumb. Sheep do not have a great defense system on their own. Do they? They need the flock. They need a shepherd. You go after the lost sheep because if you don't, that lost sheep will die. Why was Jesus so focused on saving the lost? Because he knew if he didn't, they will die for eternity in hell. He said in verse 7, if we skip ahead, verse 7, I tell you there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Amen. And it's because that one is saved from hell. Yes. Jesus says in John 10:10 about the devil, he says the thief, talking about Satan, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus knows that Satan is trying to destroy. That's why he's on a mission to save. Satan is trying to destroy your neighbor. He's trying to destroy your friend. He's trying to destroy your relative. Satan is trying to destroy your child. The children we're raising, Satan is trying to destroy their soul. Now, they may not be of the age of accountability, but do you think Satan is not trying to plant seeds of lies? Satan's after our children. And so we see why Jesus was on this mission. He's on a mission because these things are urgent. These things are vital. These things are critical. All other things start to pale when you look at a lost soul for eternity. Verse 16, in this passage, Jesus goes on to say, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must. Here's that word must again. I must bring them also. It's like those moments where you feel panic. I must find a restroom. I must get things off this phone. It's going down like the Titanic. I must do something. That's a mission. Luke 9. Flip to Luke 9. This is near the end of, remember, near the end of Jesus' life. He's coming to the time of the cross. He's headed to Jerusalem. He's going through a Samaritan village. It's getting late. He sends his apostles into the village to find them a place to stay that night. Find someone who will host us. They go into the Samaritan village. When people realize they're Jews headed for Jerusalem, no. No, you can't stay with us. No, you can't stay with us. No, you can't stay with us. And James and John come back, nicknamed the Sons of Thunder, come back to Jesus. Remember what they say to Jesus? They say, Lord, Do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them? James and John come back. They say, Jesus, you want us to do like the angel did to Sodom and Gomorrah? The angels? You want us to do that? Can we destroy that village? Jesus rebuked them and went on to another village. Why did Jesus rebuke them? Why did Jesus not strike the village dead? And the answer is, Jesus didn't come to destroy. He came to save. We are to be about saving, right? We are not to be about destroying. But sometimes with some people, we would just prefer to destroy. Wouldn't we? And we do sometimes destroy with our words. We destroy with our communication on social media. We may say the right things, but we say it wrongly. And Colossians is another passage that reminds us. It says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know. Here's the reason. It's not just to be good people, but we're on a mission so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Why each person? Because we're on a mission to save each person. Each person is that one lost sheep. And that's our mission. Remember when God told Jonah to go to Nineveh? Flip to Jonah chapter 4, verse 10. We'll read that in a minute. Jonah chapter 4. God tells Jonah, go to Nineveh, preach to the Ninevites. God was on a mission to save the lost. Jonah, his attitude was, those lost people are my enemies. I'm going this way. And Jonah tries to flee from God. And we have the fish that swallows him. And then Jonah decides, okay, I will go to Nineveh. He preaches to Nineveh. The Ninevites repent. And God forgives. And Jonah throws a pity party. Remember that? Jonah throws a pity party. And even with Jonah pouting about God forgiving his enemies, God still cares about Jonah. Jonah is sitting outside the city. He's watching the city. And of all things, Jonah's sitting there and he's pouting. And why is he outside the city? Why didn't he go home? But he didn't. He's sitting outside Nineveh, watching the city after they've repented, knowing God is gracious and merciful. And he's still watching to see what God might do. Read between the lines. I think he's still hoping against all hope that God will strike him dead. Destroy that city. He's sitting outside the city watching, pouting. And God causes a plant to grow and shade him. A plant overnight, miraculously, grows up enough to shade him from the hot sun. And Jonah likes that. And then God, instead of destroying Nineveh, he destroys that plant. And then Jonah gets mad. And Jonah gets this from God. God said, you pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? The cattle is an odd comment here to me. But understand something. I was driving to church this morning. There's a dead squirrel in the road. Dead gray squirrel in my neighborhood. Did you know a squirrel died in my neighborhood last night? God did. Because Scripture says, not a sparrow falls to the ground that God doesn't know it. God knows because he made that sparrow. God is the giver of all life. He's the sustainer of all life. He loves all life. He's watching over it. Not saying he cares more about the sparrow than you. The lesson is, if he cares that much for the sparrow, how much do you think he cares about one he made in his image and put an eternal soul in it? There's not eternal souls in the cattle here. But God's saying to Jonah, Jonah, I care about the cattle. How much more do you think I care about those souls? And you pity this plant. I have some bamboo that I'm trying to grow at my house. I'm still trying to grow it. It's growing some. I'm just not great at it, and I don't take a lot of time to be great at it. But anyway, I plant this bamboo as a year-round kind of a visual shield at my place. And I have, I think, six of them growing. And I lost one recently because in the past few weeks, months, it's been dry. One got too dry and I didn't water it enough and I lost it. And it bummed me out. We get disappointed and sad over things like that, don't we? If you worked on some landscaping at your house and you lost one of your bushes, it kind of bums you out. Hey, I wanted that to grow so it looked like this. And that's what God's saying to Jonah. Jonah, you pity this plant that died? That's what you're pouting about? I'm trying to save lost souls. We need to work to grow lost souls, don't we? We need to work to save and grow souls in the kingdom. That's what we need to be about. We need to spend time and money investing in God's kingdom. Think for a minute how much money we spend investing in worthless things. Worthless because they're not eternal. Worthless may be a little bit of a stretch, but they're not worth much compared to souls. And how much money we spend and invest on things, and how much we waste. And if we ever want to look at what we really care about, look at where we spend our money. We need to be on a mission. Same mission that God's on. I want to leave you with this thought. A couple weeks ago, you see in your bulletin, we have a new family. The McGuires, Dedrick, Gidget, McGuire. Their daughter's a new family with us. And we love that. We love it. And we welcome you. We look forward to getting to know you. You need to get to know this family. They're good people. And they love to be here, and we love that they're here. The night that, it was a Monday night, I think, when I baptized Gidget. And baptized Dedrick last Sunday. And so on the Monday night when I baptized Gidget, I remember it stands out to me for a couple reasons. But one is, after I baptized her, she let out this, and I can't do it quite like she did, because I'm not a great actor, but it was a woo, right? If there's ever a time to get excited about something, it's at a baptism when someone is getting saved. Amen. When sins are getting forgiven. Yes, where someone is giving their life to Christ. Right. Where a new child is born. That's a time to get excited, isn't it? Amen. And there are things that we get excited about, and that's okay. But, you know, your kid hits a grand slam at a ball game or makes the winning goal in a championship game. We get excited about those things. That's okay. But they pale in comparison when we're able to help one lost soul be saved. They pale in comparison. And that same week, 2 days after that night, Steffi and I went away on a great vacation to celebrate 20 years of marriage and had a terrific time. But the greatest thing that happened that week in my life was being a part of that baptism. It's more important. It's more important. It doesn't mean my marriage isn't important. And a great trip that maybe you thought about for a long time and planned for, excited about, those things are great. But eternity is eternity. That's a different deal. And I just remind us, we need to be about eternity. And we need to be on a mission. And we need to pity the right things. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. Moments like these. Moments like we have here, this is what life's about. Isn't it? When we get to sit at the foot of our God and praise Him and worship Him. And we want more people. More people. This week, there are lost souls you come in contact with. They're lost. They're headed to hell. What can we do to bring to the cross? So as we stand and sing, if you're here this morning, there may be someone, go ahead and stand with me. There may be someone here right now and you haven't given your life to Christ. You've never had your sins washed away in baptism. Do that now. Do it today. If there's someone that has a need that we can help you with, pray for you, we'd like to do that as well. So please come as we sing together.
In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my voice. I lift up my voice to the Lord. Singing I love you, Lord. Singing I love you, Lord. Singing I love you, Lord. I love you. In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my heart, I lift up my heart.